It's Wednesday, May 28, 2025. You are tuned in to the Hagmann Report. I want to welcome Austin Brower with me. You know, it seems like a lot of stuff went on yesterday, carrying through today with respect to with respect to Fauci, the things that are being done at HHS. But more and more is coming out. More and more people we were right all along. And it was interesting too, just very quickly. There was an article. It was actually a social media post that did provide the patent with respect to the mRNA swabs having microneedles to bust through the blood-brain barrier, probably more appropriately the bone that's up there, brain barrier. But nonetheless, that's coming out, a lot of things. So with me is Austin Brower, teamhealthmasters.com. Folks, go to teamhealthmasters.com for all of your nutritional supplement needs. I'm going to tell you right now, I take them, and I'm glad I do. And I'm so thankful for them to offer what they do offer. I also, folks, when you're there, you can tune into the Ted and Austin Brower Show. It's very simple. You can actually go get the archives as well. So it's really, really, really important for your health. And I'm telling you right now, for your health, go to teamhealthmasters.com. So with me, Austin Brower. Austin, how are you, sir?
Doug, it's a pleasure to be on the show as always. We're here. We're running hot over here at the Brower Show. Glad to be on your show. And yeah, there's been a lot of stuff going on the last couple of days. I've been up in North Carolina for major part of the weekend, which was really fun. I got to go up there and train some with my son, getting better and better with operating. He's actually getting pretty fast, pretty good, really, really accurate. And so that's been a blast. And down here, we're just keeping everybody healthy and strong and watching some of these health stories and health topics that are happening right now that I think are pretty changing. I mean, this has been some big stuff that's happened the last couple of days. So I'll definitely go into detail on it, some of the more stuff that I'm finding out right now on this show, and to go over some more health topics and health stories and health news that we have going on. But yeah, it's a pleasure to be on the show as always, my friend.
Yeah, I'm telling you, there's no shortage of news as it relates to our health. The criminality behind the former regime. It's hard for me to really comprehend that we have been used as, we've known this, but you know, you think about the depravity that's behind the agenda. Man, I'll tell you what, there are some people that need to be in jail, but go wherever you want, my friend. That's just
well,
rock.
Yeah, it has. I mean, there's some crazy stuff, you know, we covered on the show today. Hold on a second, man. Golly. My 43X bite, man. I apologize. That thing was, I hate being on the clock with that thing on. The doggone aspect that we saw with the Biden administration, with what we see now coming out. And I was reading about it today on the show in detail, and just some of the craziness that's occurring with it, when we see that they were literally classifying pretty much anybody that criticized the COVID vaccine for children, that essentially covered they didn't want to wear masks, that talked about the vaccines in general, were pretty much getting put on a domestic violence extremist list. And we knew when it had happened back in 2021-22, we had heard rumors of it. But now the Free Information Act with Tulsi Gabbard, she released it. And you know, I was reading through some of the documentation today, and like, it was already bad. I knew what a lot of it said. But the more I kept reading it, in hindsight now, it's really damning, because you're looking at this stuff and they're going, you know, anybody that essentially questions the narrative about shots being good for kids, part of it was right here. I'll actually read part of it. And it said, let me find it right here. It says, the COVID-19 mitigation measures, particularly mandates or endorsements of vaccines for school-aged children, will probably spur plotting against the government, healthcare, education sectors, anger at the mitigation efforts of businesses, federal, state, and local governments, motivated several domestic violence extremist attacks, plots, and calls for violence against healthcare workers and mobile vaccine clinics in 2020 and 2021. Now, there was not any significant incidents that I knew of that I could even find, except for some people going, no, we're not going to take this unbelievably toxic experimental shot that you rolled 3 months out, 3 months of clinical trial that they refused to tell anybody how the trials went. Then when the data was supposed to get released, Pfizer came in and said, well, the FDA's given us 50 years now to roll it out. And then the more we started digging, the more we found that they knew myocarditis and pericarditis was a very direct side effect and cause symptom from the shot during trials. They hid it. They completely covered it up. You even have now certain members of the FDA go into detail talking about how they wouldn't even get the shot. Dr. Sarah Brenner, one of the most powerful figures at the FDA, admitted she refused a COVID-19 RNA shot while she was pregnant, even as her agency at the exact same time promoted it as a safe and effective for all pregnant women, while at the same time DHS was putting all of us on a domestic terrorist violence extremist watch list if we talked about it on radio, news, podcasts, and other internet platforms. If we didn't get shadow banned, we got put out there. There's a lot of instances that occurred during those times, very strange conflicts, certain things that occurred in my life and other people's lives that I look back at now, and I don't think they were coincidence anymore the more I look back at them, considering the fact how vocal I was, how vocal you were. And so watching this stuff now, I'm sitting here just shaking my head going, if we questioned it, we said, this shot isn't safe. There's no backing to this. This is RNA gene therapy. This is DARPA gene editing. This stuff is weird technology, should not even be ever used as a vaccine. It was classified as a drug when it was first rolled out, essentially on the basis, on the backside of CRISPR-9 gene editing. This was a spinoff of it. So then when they came out and they came out with RNA gene therapy, they said, oh, by the way, this is a vaccine now. We're redefining the definition of it. And on top of that, if you don't like it, if you don't want your kids getting shot up with it, you're a domestic extremist, you know, basically terrorist now. We're putting you on a list. The level of insanity that ensued with all these topics that occurred, now we're starting to see this is the reason why I've said for years, question every single thing the government tells you now on. I wish we used to live in a decent government where it was by the people, for the people. But I think we're pretty clear cut now that those days are long gone, and nobody's coming to save you. If Americans want to stay strong and healthy, if it is to be, it's up to us, because this is getting crazy. And the more we keep reading about it, the more and weirder it gets. And then at the same time, this was big news. Robert F. Kennedy, he did this. I sent the link to Eric. The CDC now is being forced to remove the COVID vaccine shot from the childhood shot schedule. I talked to you about this on the show 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I said, this is one of the most important things that we have to get done if we want to make a difference with getting the ball rolling and actually looking into these shots and what they're doing. And so he came out now and said, essentially, the CDC vaccine or the COVID vaccine for healthy children, healthy pregnant women is now being removed from the CDC recommended immunization schedule. This is big. Now, we're going to find out what this entails later on, the more this comes out. Does that mean now, if somebody decides they still get coerced into getting the shot, does that open the immunity clause and break it in half to Pfizer? Can you now sue Pfizer if you get sick from the shot because it's not on the vaccine schedule? I don't know if the 86 Act is still going to fall in place with this. But again, this was a huge, huge win for everyone in the health community. This is the first time, to my knowledge, we've ever actually seen a shot forcibly removed off the vaccine childhood shot schedule, because I think there's either 76 or 78 shots on that schedule, which is insanity. The fact that this shot was being given to 6-month-olds, and we knew it was causing issues with spike protein stored in the ovaries, stored in the testes, causing all types of issues in young girls that were going to pre-menopause, so to speak, and teenagers having ovarian failure after they got the shot. CDC ignored it, FDA ignored it, put it on the shot schedule anyways, and now it's getting pulled off, thank goodness. So this is a big one. I've been talking about it for weeks. It's finally happened. Now we're going to see if Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is going to keep pushing like he is right now, because he's making some serious waves, and a lot of people are not happy with him right now in the pharmaceutical industry, Doug.
He's doing a good job. I would go further in my view, if – but maybe he's got some strategy in mind. I recommending the jabs for anybody 65 and older, you know, the immunocompromised. No. You've got to remove it, period. You've got to, and then prosecute the people who created this. In my view, I'm all for the prosecution, perp walks, and throwing people in jail or hanging them after a trial from the lamppost outside of the Capitol or White House. I don't really care, but let's have some accountability. That's my take on this. And, you know, and that goes across the board. Look at the stuff being thrown at President Trump. The judges, the rogue judges, the NGOs that still exist, man, I'm telling you what, it's pissing me off. Okay, that he's kind of taking this, and that we're taking this. In my world, if I was there, I'll tell you what, I'd be picking some people off. That's for damn sure. But
what's nuts, yeah. Doug? And this is like what you just said. You know, the whole Biden administration, they were like this lawless group of the judges. It didn't matter what was going on inside the country. These guys didn't stop anything. They didn't try to do anything except violate basically the amendments. And now suddenly we're like, hey, by the way, you've had millions of illegals, a large percentage of them gang members from other countries that are robbing, stealing, running dope, killing, raping all across the country. It's becoming a serious problem. Now we're starting to basically try to deport them. Now these judges go, whoa, 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 whoa. You can't deport them. They need a fair trial. They need this. Oh, by the way, they need to serve their sentence out in the United States before you can deport them. So we got somebody that came across the border a year ago illegally that's an active gang member that's selling fentanyl to kids. He gets arrested. We can't deport him. We now have to charge him in trial, convict him, send him to prison in the United States, which is quite comfy compared to other countries, for 5, 10, 15 years. Then when he gets out, then he goes to a deportation trial, if that even exists or happens on the docket at that point in time. What level of insanity are we operating here with these judges? And I guess this is what Chuck Schumer bragged about with the end of the Biden administration, where he goes, we've put 250 judges in place. Ho, 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 ho. We'll see how Trump can handle this. And quite frankly, doggone it, they made sure they stacked them with this now. We're seeing exactly what's happening. Did you see that one video with that female judge that actually got the federal agents, the ICE agents, to go meet with one of the other judges that walked that illegal out through the basement, basically through a private security exit, and walked him out to try to get him outside. And now she's being charged, though, federally, which good riddance. I mean, that was such an obstruction of justice with that. That was crazy to me in that video, that surveillance video, if you saw that.
Yeah, I did. And yes, I mean, you know, where were the judges objecting to the importation, the wholesale import of these terrorists, these illegals? I mean, the whole process, or the whole southern border bringing people over was illegal, but not one judge put a stop to it. But yet, you know, you can't get rid of them. Because judges are throwing up roadblocks. This is just me. I would tell the judges to pound sand. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm the president, and, you know, try to stop me, idiots. Yeah. Try to stop me.
Well, and what they may be trying to do, and you and I talked about this a few months ago, they may be doing this with these judges intentionally to try to provoke Trump to actually exercise his rights as president to do so, to basically block this or override them or flat out ignore them. And then they can come in and say, okay, we're filing impeachment charges again now. We're doing articles of impeachment because he's not following federal law. And they may be trying to set him up to put him in a position where these judges are they're blocking stuff that doesn't even have any constitutional basis to it. I mean, they're just blocking anything they want. They're just like, oh, well, no, you can't do this. You can't do this. I mean, those one Venezuelan gang guys were on their way down there. They're transferring out. The judge goes, you have to turn the plane around and bring them back. Something like, you know, kick rocks. What are you talking about? I mean, what? It's almost like they're trying to provoke him to get him in a corner somewhere where they go, oh, article of impeachment, such and such, we're filing on him now because he violated this. Because that almost that they're it's going so over the top now, it doesn't even make sense for a U.S. court or a U.S. judge to even be acting against the best interest of the United States to this level, even for these guys being communists or Democrats, Doug. That's my kind of take on it.
The infiltration and Schumer bragging about the judges, and I get all that. It's really communist infiltration or the agenda of the globalists in this country. And at some point, we have to take the gloves off. I'm not a fan right now of Congress, either the upper or lower chamber. I'm not. Johnson has been feckless. And I think, frankly, this is a do-nothing Congress.
I can interject into there.
Go ahead.
They put this big, beautiful bill that they passed, which they had a couple good things in there, and now we're all starting to dig through it. Even Elon Musk came out the other day, and he said he's grossly disappointed with it. You know, we got the aspect of the Hearing Protection Act, which was huge. That's going to pull silencers off the NFA list, remove the $200 tax stamp, and no longer allow ATF to regulate suppressors. That's a huge factor.
Don't go away from there. So does that mean you can actually go to a gun store and not, it's not mandated, a federal tax stamp is not mandated. Anyone can buy, if you can buy a gun, you can buy a suppressor.
Correct. So what it's going to be, it's going to be a NICS background check, the 4473 background check, the same background check that you basically have to do when you buy a firearm. It's going to be the same one. You buy a threaded barrel for it. You buy a suppressor. They do a background check on the suppressor serial number. Boom, done. No federal registry. No tax stamp. No ATF boondoggle faggots involved in telling you can't have a muffler on your gun. That was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen in 1934, and I read back on that. I'm like, why in the world is ATF regulating suppressors? It's not a firearm by any means. It's literally a muffler. The exact same concept of a muffler on a truck is a muffler on a firearm. It's like having a red dot on a firearm. NFA, it's never been involved with ATF. And so this thing should have been pulled off 100 years ago. Now it's being pulled out of this bill, which is really nice. And it's been put in this bill, so it'll be pulled off the NFA registry. The good thing about this is it's a big deal. If this goes through and the Senate passes it and Trump signs it, that means that essentially it's going to open up the NFA registry with machine guns, with short barrel rifles, short barrel shotguns, so forth, to scrutiny now, because it's going to set precedent on pulling those off and dissolving the NFA list and possibly taking away a major portion of what ATF does and getting rid of it. ATF is a redundant agency. They're a prohibition agency, post-prohibition, that may have been useful with alcohol, tobacco, and firearm regulation back in the day. They're useless now. They really are. They have no useful purpose. The FBI can easily take over all operations of it, and a lot of these gun laws from 1934 need to be determined to if they're even constitutional, and look at what we're operating with now. You know what I mean? Back then, the reason why they put such heavy registration on it was because you could go into Sears for like $200 and go buy a Thompson automatic 45 ACP machine gun. You didn't have to file a
background. Those were the days, man.
Oh, God. I was like, bro, going there, like, yeah, I'll take a BAR, I'll take a Tommy gun. I mean, you know, why not? Give me two of all of them. And so what they did was, that's why the $200 tax stamp, because essentially in most cases, it was about the average price of most machine guns back then. So $200 Tommy gun, now you had to make $200 tax stamp on it and register it with the NFA. It went from buying it just off the shelf, give me cash, here's a Tommy gun, to now I got to get paperwork, I got to do fingerprints, I got to get approval, I got to get a background check, I got to wait for it, I got to pay a tax stamp, and then all that's done, you let me know and I can come pick up my gun. So it really changed the game with controlling those machine guns. The problem is now there's so many other options, and you got SOT2 manufacturers now all over the place that basically are able to manufacture these guns. And then you got the pre-86 guns. It needs to be reopened and readdressed. That being said, though, that's one of the only beautiful things about this big, beautiful bill that got passed, because Elon Musk came out now and he said, you know, why did we come in and start cutting all this stuff for you guys to add it right back in this bill? He said the money that we're cutting out is just getting reallocated somewhere else now in this bill. We're not cutting any expenditures. We're not cutting down the budget. We're not cutting down the debt. You're just moving more money to another agency that now we got to investigate because USAID shut down and other ones are shut down. And so I think we're seeing the aspect because we were curious about this when this happened. If Elon Musk was actually going to get to take the gloves off and go weapons free and be able to go through and really cut these expenses like he started doing, if he was going to finish it. And my take on it, my basically thought process, my prediction was that he wasn't. Exactly what happened is going to happen. He started hitting some nerves. Some of these funds started showing up going, by the way, Jimmy Bob, he just cut $50 million out of this one account. That's our slush fund, bro, for our party jets whenever we want to go places. I want that money back. Okay. We're reallocating it to another agency now. Remember, all this money, when he started digging into it, you had these tens of millions of dollars in all these sectors that were going to these LLCs for contracts that some of them weren't even getting fulfilled, and they were still getting full payment. And then you look at the LLC, and it was a shell company with another LLC shell company that owned it, and it was 2 and 3 and 4 deep. And so you realize they were just money laundering and they were doing cash transfers to themselves. And I think a lot of the Senate and Congress were involved. Again, not accusing anyone, but that's my direct speculation that Elon Musk also said as well. And so now what happens? Congress comes in and goes, oh, well, we're allocating this here, this here, this here, and this new agency is going to handle this and this. And everybody's going, you guys are just taking the money we cut. You're just putting it right back into a different agency with different letters on it. And that's what we're afraid of because Congress and Senate are so compromised. And that's pretty much what we're going to be fighting again.
Man, yeah. So that bill, I do pay attention to Victor Davis Hanson. And he was saying his only misgiving about President Trump is that bill. Because it's really not. I mean, we're going further down the debt hole with that bill for the exact reasons you just stated. So that's a problem. And
what they did was, and this is what they always do. They came in with this bill and they go, we're going to cut taxes on tips, which there shouldn't be taxes on tips anyways. I mean, that's the fact you have to put that in a bill is insanity. And they're going in, we're going to cut tax breaks on car loans. And we're going to do this little fee. Oh, we're going to do the Hearing Protection Act. So got all the Second Amendment boys were like, oh, hoorah. Here, pulling suppressors off the NFA list. I'm all about it. So it got these little wins for all these groups for everybody to go, okay. And then we started looking through it. And we're like, well, it increases the deficit by another $3.8 trillion in 10 years. It doesn't cut spending at all. It increases spending. And so Elon Musk is having a fit about it for good reason. And so we're looking at this stuff now. We're going, I mean, like I talked about the other day, what happened to audit the Fort Knox gold?
I was just thinking, man, I was just thinking that. We don't hear about that anymore, do we?
No. I mean, even Donald Trump was tweeting about it. Elon Musk was going ham on it. It started becoming a trend on social media, audit Fort Knox. All of a sudden, I pulled up an article the other day. The newest article on it is from like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
It's like done. Hush. Now, you think about this for a second. Why in the world does the United States sitting president have to get approval and then get denied to audit allegedly the largest gold reserve bank or holding center in the entire country of the United States? Why does he even have to ask to do that? And then get told, we're not doing it.
I'll tell you what, if it were me sitting behind the Resolute desk, I'd be getting up from there and I'd be going to Fort Knox and saying, okay, you're going to let me in. And
Air Force One, baby. We're doing full escort in. We're going to go into Fort Knox. I'm going to have Secret Service escort me down in there. They can't tell him no. I don't think they physically can. And so if they do, it's like, why are you telling me I can't go to Fort Knox? I'm the president of the United States. Obviously, we're being lied to. And so, again, it's crazy. They're talking about it. Everybody starts talking about it. And all of a sudden, done. Same thing with Pam Bondi, the Epstein files. I got them sitting on my desk right now. We're releasing them to the public. Everybody's going to know who's on Epstein's client list. All of a sudden, it was like, Oh, it's the same crap, same fodder, same theater you showed us years ago. There's nothing new on it. I want to see the clientele list that Jeffrey Epstein was utilizing these individuals, bringing them children for sex trafficking. I want to know the judges. I want to know the names. I want to know the places. I want to know the people. I want to be able to hold these guys accountable for doing what they did to these kids. Oh, no, we're not talking about that either. Okay, so... Oh, we got a big, beautiful bill now. We're spending another $4 trillion. Everybody's like, this is not what we asked for, bro. This is not at all what we asked for.
Okay, so you were talking about the gold at Fort Knox. One thing that really made me proud of the states, in this, especially Florida right now, DeSantis. I'm not a fan of any politician, but DeSantis, I got to give him props. He came out and recognized gold and silver as legal tender. Okay, it's about time.
It is.
We've got to get back to the the bimetallic system for our coinage. We really do, and we have to have a gold-backed dollar. So if we can't do it on a federal level, let's do it on a state level.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think Texas has done this. Florida's doing it now. I mean, having the ability to transfer silver and gold, which they shouldn't be taxed. And so being able to use that as legal tender is huge. It should be. It always has been. They knew when they got off the gold standard with Nixon that they had the ability to start creating enormous amounts of fiat paper currency because there's no gold backing. That's why they wanted to do it. And so Florida, DeSantis has been killing it down here. Now he's talking about removing property taxes after X amount of years being a Florida resident, which is huge because Florida, and he's mentioned this, Florida has like one of the biggest gluts as far as because our budget is run so efficiently in Florida. We have a glut of cash down here in the state of Florida. The revenue as far as this sales tax and other things has so much cash flow coming in. And property taxes have always been, in my opinion, grossly illegal. If you need to pay for something like fire, EMT, police, 911, garbage pickup, those are all things you should be able to pay every year and do them. But being told you have to pay $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 in property taxes this year, or we're stealing your house from you, even if you own it outright, you have no mortgage in your name, we're going to steal it from you and sell it on the courthouse steps because you didn't pay your fees to the state. That is beyond tyrannical, and it always has been tyrannical. So he's been one of the first governors to actually talk about getting rid of state, basically, property taxes in Florida. And, of course, he pulled fluoride out of the water supply. That was a huge one that happened a couple weeks ago. And so he's definitely been hitting it pretty hard now, which I'm proud of it. And then, like I said, RFK Jr. has been talking about, we're getting the dyes pulled out. They're pulling the fluoride out of a lot of products, getting the fluoride out of the water in Florida. Now we're pulling the COVID shot off the CDC. To be honest with you, RFK Jr. is doing more than Donald Trump's even trying to do. And I don't know if Donald Trump's just playing theater or if he really is just doing pretty much what they're telling him to do this time and kind of playing the game. I'm not sure. But really is actually coming to fruition.
I want to believe, Austin. I want to believe. And I think I hate this, but I think it's complicated. Okay. I hate when people say that it's complicated, but in this case, I think it is. However, he needs to, in my view, he needs to make some replacement appointments. Bondi, that is really, is she really out there doing anything? Like you mentioned about the Epstein clientele list, the list does exist in terms of, well, not as a list, but as people. If you go back to the transcripts of the initial file, okay, or the initial filings back in, when was it, early 2000s, in Florida, as a matter of fact. However, there's much more to bring forth. But again, it's just like Patel and Bongino. I don't know whether you saw that interview with Maria Bartiromo, Cash Patel and Dan Bongino saying,
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, man. We played it yesterday. And the body language guy on X went through the body language of those two. I have to give him a lot of credit because The body language was off on that interview on both of them. But yeah, what's going on there? Saying, for example, well, there's, you know, Butler's a closed case. It shouldn't be. I'm telling you right now, it shouldn't be. I don't know. I'm disappointed with some of the people. But my question is, what changed from behind the Bongino microphone to his placement in the FBI? And don't give me these cutesy tweets or posts about things that are happening. Show us perp walks, federal jewelry, you know, handcuffs. I want to see those. Fauci, too, by the way, put him in handcuffs, among others, Daszak and the whole crew that was behind what the tremendous peril with what they did. They broke this country with this response to COVID. They broke this country, and they should pay for it. That's just my thought.
No, you're 100% spot on with that, Doug. And I mean, and now you see all these reports now that, you know, they knew, Congress knew Pfizer had a shot that was unbelievably toxic. The FDA knew the reports were unbelievably dangerous. The shot was not safe to be used in these human trials. Any normal situation, any standard clinical trial with any other drug at any other point in time, this thing never would have passed approval, ever. Period. They never would have passed this shot after 3 months. They've never even passed a vaccine this fast. It wasn't even a vaccine. It was gene therapy. And so, and then, you know, you had Congress knew about it. FDA knew about it. So many of these agencies were blatantly complicit. And so when it comes down to a point, you got to ask yourself the question. Were they all complicit and went along with it because they were getting so much push from Fauci? And, you know, basically the entire group as being a military operation with warp speed to get this thing through. And they were pretty much told, get it through at all cost. That's your standard care right now. That's your option. That's the only thing to do. Or was it that they really truly knew this thing was going to be this dangerous and they didn't give a crap? And they said, you know what? We're told to do it. Don't matter to us. We don't care how many people die. Because I remember those two FDA vaccine panel individuals. I don't have their name. I remember I covered this years ago, and then I recovered again about a year ago. There were two individuals on the FDA panel that as soon as the COVID shot got emergency use authorization to roll out, both of them resigned almost immediately and stepped down from their positions and left. And later on, they were trying to interview them, and they said, basically, I have no comment. I don't want to be a part of this. I'm leaving. They're like, bro, you've been with the FDA for 20 years. You're just suddenly going to step down. No comment. No comment.
I didn't mean to interrupt, but
Do you remember that happened? I'll see if I can pull it up real quick.
You know, I do kind of, sort of, okay. But what you said earlier, I think some of the people, not all of them, I believe most knew at the higher levels knew that this was a intended depopulation. Fitting with the depopulation agenda, and others, I suspect, if anyone ever saw the movie about the atomic bomb experiments, you know what's going to happen. Well, geez, I don't know. It's going to either explode or we're going to set the world's atmosphere on fire. You know, kill everybody.
Oh yeah, Oppenheimer. I don't know. We'll find out. And here's the article right here. This is from September 2021. This is right when the FDA was going and approving Comirnaty, the brand drug. FDA's top two career vaccine officials stepped down suddenly. And they said, we want no part of this. We're stepping out. And I mean, it got like no mainstream media coverage at all. And everybody said, why you got these two guys? These guys are like career FDA officials. I mean, decades they've been with the FDA. And suddenly they said, no. And it was over the COVID-19 shot and getting approved for Comirnaty.
Where did you pick that article up? Because I'd like to include that in our show notes.
This is from Government Executive. I'll send the link right now.
Okay,
to
good.
Eric, while I'm looking at it, because like I said, I've been kind of on a kick this week on the show, as far as with bringing back some old, you know, oldies but goodies from COVID, because, you know, we're kind of watching this stuff now. The reason why I did it this week is because we're watching so much information come out now, Free Information Act, with different stuff now, like this FDA female that said, I wouldn't get the shot. I was pregnant. I wasn't touching the shot. You couldn't get near me with that needle. I wasn't taking the shot. And you're like, but you're on the FDA panel approving it, saying it's okay for pregnant women, yet you said vehemently, I am not getting that shot. I will not touch it. So it's like, what the heck is going on? Why in the world were we told this? And now we're finding out, oh, by the way, if you didn't want your kid to get the shot, you were going on a doggone domestic terrorist list.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
That's fine. Now I can't fly. I mean, you remember the thousands of people, Doug, the thousands of people. They're put on the federal do not fly list because they wouldn't keep a mask on a plane.
Yes.
They had it around their chin. Yeah. You got these like Gestapo airline attendants. Most airline attendants, they're really good people. They work hard. I've known a few of them over the years. They're great. But they got these like Gestapo ones on this plane. Like, your mask is down. I wouldn't fly. I drove everywhere for years. And I was like, I will not subject myself to being an encapsulated tube with people telling me I have to wear a diaper on my face while we're all sitting shoulder to shoulder. Like, this makes no sense. And the thing about it was crazy is that, I mean, they actually had the ability to come in and say, you don't wear your mask. We're putting you on a do not fly list. We're turning the plane around and dropping you off. That was crazy to me. And, yeah. So I'm sending a link right now to the FDA officials because I've really been on a kicking parade now as far as with what's been going on with this and looking at it and going, look, guys, this is what they told us back then. This is what's coming out now. Now do you see why I was so diametrically opposed to this stuff? Why do you think I was talking about vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, making sure you're staying on top of the healthy immune kit that we have and people having great results from it? Why do you think I was telling people to take N-acetylcysteine to basically make sure they detoxify their body and it was good for their lungs? Or the Natokinase that helped out with thinning the blood if people were having issues with blood clots after they got the shot. I was at the front of this telling everybody what to do, and now it's coming out and they're like, dang, you were right about everything, and these people lied to us about everything. And so then you can ask yourself the other question. What else are we being lied to about? And the answer, million-dollar answer, everything.
Everything, yeah. I think people have to realize, and I think most people do, especially this audience, I have to give them a lot of credit. I think that they realize that, you know, look, there's nothing out there that is what it appears to be. It's all a dog and pony show. And you know, I suppose I can give President Trump a break. He's trying to, you know, put the plug in, stop nuclear annihilation. He's busy with the budget, although that bill, it's not exactly reflective of responsible budgeting. But okay.
In his defense, though, and I'm not covering for him at all because I'll still call him out. He's dealing with Congress that's massively compromised. And like you said, he's dealing with Putin and this whole Ukraine debacle weapon trafficking scandal that's going on over there. Not to mention he's got Israel wanting to bomb the entire world into rubble so they can build up their new third temple, like that whole situation. So he's got these really big things going on. And he's like, Congress, fix this. Could put a big bill together. You know, he hasn't read that bill at all. He's got briefed on it, on some of the top things. And so he's like, put a bill together. They pass it. And everybody's like, bro, it's another gigantic spending bill. We're giving the Pentagon DOD more money again. We took money from DOGE. We're giving it DOD. Like, it's not cutting back on anything. And so, again, somebody asked me the other day, and they people asked, well, what can we do with this? What can we do with that? You know, be educated on it. Be knowledgeable on the topics. Know what's going on. Be very smart on the decisions you're going to make with somebody, especially when it comes to health topics, and continue to keep your body strong. Keep your body loaded up with the collagen. That really keeps your joints strong. That really keeps your heart strong, really keeps your fingernails and skin strong. Stay up on the vitamin C, the D3 and zinc, keep your immune system strong. Exercise 3, 4, 5 times a week. Make sure you're getting adequate cardiovascular exercise. We're up in North Carolina over the ranch we have up there, me and Hunter. You know, I told him, I said, listen, I was like, it's cardio day. I'm like, put it on. So he had his backpack. I had my plate carrier, basically ruck on. And dude, we went up the hill all the way top up, all the way down, all the way up, all the way down. After like 5 or 6 laps, he's like, dude, I'm exhausted. I was like, okay, you're good. You know what I mean? Nine. So I kept pushing a little bit more. So I was like, I'm going to push myself to borderline failure on this just because that's how – now I don't recommend everybody do that. But again, you got to push yourself to full exhaustion sometimes and be like, okay, got that over with now. And you've got to find your limits and test yourself in some cases and see what you can push, especially when you're young, because that's something this generation's lost. Most generation doesn't even know how to throw a punch. They don't know what it feels like to get hit in the face. They don't know what it's like to actually stand up and push back on something. They're so used to their social media. Everybody wants to talk. You don't get them behind the little keyboard warrior. I'm bad. And it's like, well, dude, what happens when you get hit in the face? What's your plan then? Like Mike Tyson used to always say. And so this younger generation, I've been trying to encourage a lot of them. It's like, hey, listen, man, get in shape, get active, talk about stuff that's going on, get educated, don't back down. Obviously, don't go around trying to offend people or trying to start fights. But on the other hand, too, ask questions, man. When you have government agencies and officials say, don't take vitamin C, it's not FDA approved. But we've got an RNA gene therapy shot that's been through 30 days, 60 days, oh, 90 days of trials now. It's safe and effective. Get your shot because it's going to keep you safe. But do not take vitamin C, and God forbid you take ivermectin. You got to go, I should probably do the exact opposite of everything they're telling me right now. And sad as that is, that's almost the mantra to go with. Whatever they say, do the opposite, and you'll probably be in really good shape and stay strong and healthy. Unfortunately, that's a weird way to have to look at everything now, I guess. Now you think,
well, look, I think and this, if this last 5+ years have taught us anything, I really believe our health obviously is up to us. You know, we cannot depend upon anyone else. I mean, we have to be responsible for our own health, and that includes taking the proper supplements and making sure, for example, if you're low on something from a blood test or if a blood, yep, blood panel, man, I'll tell you what, you can fix it, and you can fix it without going to a doctor or a hospital or getting prescription medication. And it's interesting because when I was in, and this, I think this is a testament to, exactly what we're talking about, but it's also a testament to the Health Masters. I was taking the supplements, taking your supplements, and they wanted to give me a specific blood thinner for whatever. In fact, they didn't even tell me why. Okay. But I said, no, because I'm taking the very supplements you mentioned, and there was nothing wrong with my blood in terms of being thick. So anyway,
right.
We're responsible. We have to be responsible for ourselves, and because no one is going to, I mean, believe me, no one's going to save us. And
no.
What did our ancestors do back in the day? Of course, they had their food, the food that they grew wasn't contaminated from the air
at all. It was clean.
Yeah. So we have to get back to that. And the other thing too, we've got to stop the aerial spraying. We've got to stop all of the things like appeal, for the apples and such, Gates product. Things that we can do is be vocal about the things that we don't want. That's just my take on things.
No, it's spot on. And get proactive on what you're actually going out and buying. When you're at the grocery store, start reading labels. Start looking at stuff and going, let me see what's in this. Let me see what's in this, this food or this cereal, this preservative, what preservatives are in it. And start addressing it. Because the thing about this is they don't even try to hide it. It's right on the label. It's your responsibility.
I want to ask you about that. I saw a label. Okay. In fact, I was going to bring it to the studio and I didn't. It was on a can of some type of cream soup. It said contains bioengineered food product.
There you go.
What the hell is that?
GMOs, man. That means it has direct GMO food in it. Meaning the food they're putting in there is genetically modified and bioengineered. I mean, they're directly. It's not like, oh, something got sprayed with a little bit of Roundup or something. That they don't have to list. It means they're using genetically modified food that's been modified to grow in certain conditions. It's biolab.
It's funny because I purchased that specifically to bring here and show people.
Did
of
you?
Course, yeah. And I didn't do it, but of course, I don't think you could read it on the label. But nonetheless, you know, I was just surprised. Well, not really surprised. I was just more angry than anything else. But folks,
well,
health
this
measures
stuff all the time. You know, I showed it on our show the other day. There was a some smoked salmon that I was at Publix I wanted to get, and I picked up the packaging on it. And I'm like, God, this thing is bright. It's smoked salmon, wild caught, allegedly. And I flip it over. It's got red number 40 and MSG in it, along a couple other ingredients for smoked salmon. I'm like, why on God's green earth are you putting red 40 in wild caught salmon? It doesn't need it unless this stuff is so unhealthy. You're doing it to kind of brighten it up. And so there's certain foods you don't expect it to be in. And that's why I said you got to read the label, especially with the kids. I'm so glad they're banning these food colorings by 2026. This is a huge factor. I mean, these are petroleum-based preservative toxin food colors that have no useful purpose except make food bright. And you got all this direct marketing to children now, these stupid cereal boxes. And, you know, Tony the Tiger, me and Ted talked about the other day from Kellogg's Frosted Flakes. I still remember a lot of those on Saturday morning commercials sometimes. I'd go and watch TV. Every single time there's a commercial break, you have Tony the Tiger run around, give everybody Frosted Flakes. And, you know, that was bad enough back then. Now it's even worse. I did an article the other day. They were talking about how the sugar, the fat, the content of that in cereal has gone up over the last 10 years dramatically. And they're going, why is that? Why are they adding more sugar and more fat to cereal that was already popular 10, 15 years ago? And the answer is it makes it more addictive. Sugar is very addictive. And then there was another article that went into detail talking about why Americans eat so much food now in cities and why everybody's getting so fat. And it looks at it and says, you know, they've used the aspect of trying to get a good deal to their advantage as a marketing tool to get people to upsize. You know, you've got the small, medium, large. You go to McDonald's, you know, you get a cheeseburger with fries and a Coke. Well, for an extra 50 cents more, you can get a large Coke and a large fry and a double Whopper. Or because of 50 cents more, I'm going to get twice as much food. Well, yeah, you get 1,000. You said 1,000 calories, you're 2,000 calories. And what's happened is now the portion sizes of people's diets has gotten so big. They're eating enormous amounts of calories every sitting, not even realizing it, and they're getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and nobody's even addressing the fact why. And it's because a lot of these fast food companies have slowly expanded their sizing and their pricing marketing techniques to get you to buy more food so they make more money on it, you get fatter on it, and you want to come back because the addictive compounds of MSG and how they put the sugar, the fat, and basically all these preservatives in a specific ratio to make them as addictive as possible. I did a whole show on it 2 months ago on actual the chemical engineering they have, the research they have behind it on specific ratios of ingredients and compounds to make the food as addictive as possible. That's what I said, man. Eat the whole foods. Eat whole eggs. Get the Fit Food Whey protein. You want a protein shaker. The GHI is a meal replacement. Eat whole foods the best you can. You'll feel better. You'll function better. You have more energy. You have more acuity, and you won't gain so much doggone body fat from eating excessive, gigantic plates of food you don't need to eat, man. It really makes a huge difference.
I am so I am a believer in the products from Health Masters, folks. TeamHealthMasters.com, and you know, I've had so many people come to me and want me to talk about their specific products and such. I'm going to tell you right now, Health Masters has been and always will be the go-to for our household. I've noticed, Austin, I've noticed that your products really, when stacked up to others, they're far superior. And you know what? I'm okay to pay in some cases a little more. That's okay because I know I'm getting quality. I've seen other companies charge more than your products for less of the product in question. So I'm a big believer in Health Masters. TeamHealthMasters.com. TeamHealthMasters.com. And while you're there, listen to the Ted and Austin Brower Show as well for extra credit, because and you can dig down into the archives as well. There it is. They have a separate website too, folks, for their show. But nonetheless,
yeah, browershow.com. That's where we put all the podcasts on every day, all the updates on there. Make it super simple. That way, people don't get confused. You can go to the site, purchase your products, go back to the podcast, and sign up for the weekly newsletter as well, so you can get the updates on it. Because like you said, Doug, I mean, quality costs money. You know, performance costs money. You can't go and say, well, I want to go spend X amount of dollars. I want to spend a few dollars, but I'll get top performance out of it. It doesn't work. If you want the quality, if you want your body to operate at peak performance, if you want to have top mental acuity, if you want to have top energy, you want to have that and you want to feel good, it's not cheap. I don't buy cheap Rawls. I don't buy Rawls out of China. A large percent of my stuff comes out of Europe. I got another giant shipment of the creatine coming in. Everybody's been buying up the creatine left and right, even locally. After that study came out, that research study that I posted on the website, Harrison wrote a good article on it, talking about how sleep deprivation can be massively offset with creatine, how creatine increases water to the brain, prevents dehydration, increases muscle strength, muscle density, muscle endurance, and also helps prevent aspects of damage to the brain from sleep deprivation. In this study, they're taking high doses of creatine. And the one we have is the Swiss creatine, and it's plant cellulose capsule that's controlled release, so it digests in the small intestines, so it gets in your system much faster without having to take a huge dosage of bloat. I've had so many people start taking that. They're like, man, I'm just getting a little bit of exercise, and I got bigger pumps. I got better feel in the gym. I sleep better off creatine. I'm like, I didn't even know it was that good for that until the research came out. And I'm like, well, that makes sense. My wife feels good all the time, on top of all the other supplements that I take.
it does assist in sleep, though, correct, creatine?
It can. Ted said it does with him. I sleep pretty good. I take the melatonin at night. I usually take half a melatonin with some total rest of magnesium. It conks me out. Unless I'm on like four purple sticks on an 11 o'clock show with you at night, which I love doing. Then I don't go to bed that early. Then I'm up on the laptop, working until 2 or 3 in the morning. But the creatine on a regular basis, I'm hearing that some people under normal circumstances are getting better sleep, especially when they stack it with the magnesium. And so, again, certain people respond to different things. I'm not making any claims. What I'm saying is this.
Right.
Buy quality, get quality performance out of it. And, I mean, that's why on the show every day we've got, the breakfast stack with the Fit Food Protein and the Purple Sticks. If you're in a rush and you're wanting some good quality protein and you want to kick in the morning, instead of going and spending, $6, $7, $8 at that horrible place they call Starbucks, overpriced coffee, insane expensive. I said, dude, the Fit Food Protein and the Purple Sticks, it's like 100-something bucks for the kit. It'll last you, 3-4 weeks, depending on how much you take of it, 2-4 weeks. I take a lot of it. And so, but I'm just sitting there looking at it, and I'm like, bro, if it lasts you 15 or 20 servings, it's $100. It's way cheaper than going to Starbucks and spending $7, $8, $9, $10 on a cup of coffee, getting a bunch of fat and cream and artificial flavors and sweeteners. And it's doing nothing to your body, by the way. This stuff is feeding you. It's helping you recover. It's stabilizing your blood sugar. It's increasing your energy. It's loading your body with B vitamins. And it's giving you that performance edge you need at a fraction of the cost without just stimulating yourself with a bunch of sugar. Because that's what a lot of people don't realize. When they go drink that coffee at Starbucks, a lot of the big spike they get is a sugar rush. It's not the caffeine rush all the time. Listen to a ton of espresso. It's the sugar rush. And then what happens is the reason why they crash so hard isn't necessarily the coffee either. It's the sugar and the insulin. The insulin spikes because of the sugar. And so their insulin crashes their sugar, and they get super tired. I just had coffee an hour ago. I feel like crap. If you drink coffee, drink it straight black. Add a bunch of crap to it. Add 20 packets of sugar. And don't be using it with, all this sugar and cream and stuff they add to it. It's just the calories, 5-7 calories for coffee in the morning.
Yeah, I got to say, I don't know, maybe the day before yesterday or yesterday. I can't remember, but I walked in. We have a couple of local Starbucks kind of sort of places, the independent, right? So
at least they're independent. Business is a business. They got to make money. At least it's not the giant conglomerate Starbucks and their anti-Christian, anti-sun nonsense.
No. But I walked in and asked for a large black coffee. And the girl looked at me like I was, from you another planet. And she almost didn't like, how do I do this? It was kind of funny the way anyway, now you mentioned something though. I got to go back to, you mentioned about a morning stack. I think it was, the protein part of things.
Yeah. That's the Food Protein. I think I got a can over here. Yeah, the Fit Food Protein. And okay. Basically the purple sticks where they are. Yeah, that's a stack that I make. A lot of people ask me. What I have found is I drink it right at the beginning of the show, and it keeps me pretty energized and stabilized with blood sugar. Because what I have found over the years, I can't just use like stimulants purple sticks all the time and not eat after a while. Because I've had a high metabolism. I try to eat a lot of protein. My body's used to maintaining a lot of protein, maintaining overall size and body mass. So I've got to keep my protein levels up all day. I try to eat at least a gram of protein per body weight. So I try to stay like 2, 215, 220 of protein every single day. Add supplemental shakes if I need to other than food. And so what that does is you're not just giving yourself a jolt of caffeine. A, you're giving yourself a purple stick with the B complex and the acai and the other antioxidants. And then you're throwing in 20, 30 grams of protein on top of it. So you're giving yourself this well-rounded energy bump that you're not getting a bunch of, you know, just raw ingredients that are going to spike your blood sugar. You're giving yourself the raw nutrients that are going to feed your body strong, keep you from going catabolic, which is where you burn muscle tissue, and actually help you recover and sustain energy over the next hour or two until you get a meal in or until you get your eggs or whatever you want to do. Because I point out, I don't like to eat an actual meal of my eggs until about like usually 10 o'clock before the show or after the show. Now, I've been doing a little bit shorter time frame on my diet. I try to keep my food range in about 8 to 9 hours. Now, I'll supplement with shakes before and later, but I try to do that 8-hour window during the summer. Gives your digestive tract a little bit of a break to digest your food, and it helps you burn a little bit more better body fat when you do it that way.
And I'll tell you, I think a lot of folks, if you're listening to this, I am a big proponent of that fast time, fasting time, because give, and you can do your own research on that, but I believe in that. What I got to ask you, what flavor is that protein?
I got chocolate and vanilla. I haven't gone with anything crazy. Some people ask me if I can make, you know, fruity pebbles or s'mores or anything.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, you know what? I mean, if you got to drink s'mores and fruity pebbles, get your protein shake down, you probably just,
you can pour Fruit Loops in there if you really want to.
Yeah, okay. I mean, if you really got to be that entertained by your food all day long, you know, whatever, man, more power to you. Chocolate vanilla, it's easy, it's basic, it's super clean, it gets good. The job done. This one's chocolate. Purple sticks go good with it, or you can do vanilla, the purple sticks, which gives like a fruity flavor if you want your little Fruit Loop flavor in the morning. And it works, like I said, it works great with it. The kit's like $98. It'll last you for weeks, depending on how much you use of it. And it's easy. It'll rock and roll. Because the first thing I like to do, first thing in the morning, I try to drink like a full tumbler, like 20, 30 ounces of water. First thing when I wake up in the morning.
Man, I'll tell you what. I don't know about the people listening and right now live in chat. The worst, you know what? I don't like water. I don't. You know, and let's say I have some bourbon in it, but no, I haven't done that in years. But no, I just don't like water. For example, some of your other, like the liver cleanse and stuff, I'll tell you this, man, I could drink that all day long. Because
the GHI cleanse, GHI cleanse, we worked on that flavor for a while. It's vanilla and chocolate also.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the ingredient list on it, it tastes like drinking earth. We first got it. I was like, I can't give this to people. I can choke down anything. And I was like, this is not for me, dude. We got to fix this flavor. And so we did. It's pretty good now. But yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people don't like water. They like to kind of be entertained by their beverage. I get it. That's the magnesium is good. The purple sticks. But I'll tell you right now, something that's undervalued is that first thing in the morning when you wake up, chugging down at least 15, 20, 30 ounces of water, depending on your size. It does so much for your digestive system, getting your body rolling, cleansing your system out, getting you going first thing in the morning, and then getting to your purple sticks or getting to your shake or getting to your eggs, whatever you prefer. But people sleep on that, man, as far as not drinking water first thing in the morning. Because you got to think, you're fasting all night. You're not drinking water all night. And if you're breathing heavy or you got a cold room or you're snoring, you got comforters over you, whatever it may be, you're losing water while you sleep all night. And so that's the first thing in the morning, because water is life. Without water, 2 to 3 days, you're dead. It ain't going past that. And so first thing in the morning, you chug that water down, then get ready for your morning, you open a purple stick, open a shake, whatever you want to do. That point now, your system's working, your digestive tract's cleansing out, and you're getting water flushing through your system, cleaning your liver, your kidneys, flushing everything out from the night. And that's the best way to start a morning every single day. That's
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to place an order for protein. Right after the show, the protein that you have, as we age, guys, I'm telling you right now, I don't know, maybe I'm like the outlier here, but you lose muscle mass, and that's not working for me. And I need to maintain muscle mass. So the protein, of course, is how you would do it, right?
Protein intake's important. I mean, real food is definitely really important. Yeah. Exercise, strength training is crucial. I tell it all the time. I mean, it doesn't have to be crazy. I mean, 20 minutes, 33 to 4 times a week. But also on top of that is adequate protein intake. You can train a couple days a week. You can train your butt off. You can train mildly. If you're not getting adequate protein, especially as a male, as you get older, you will start eating muscle tissue. And the older you get, the less protein you eat, the more you'll chew up. Your body will use it as fuel if it has to. And so you got to keep it in there. That's why some people are like, well, I don't like to eat a bunch all day. I don't like to eat 6 meals a day. Got it. It's annoying. I don't even do that half the time anymore. It's too much work to eat that many times a day. So try to get good meals in, supplement shakes throughout the day, 1 shake, 2 shakes, sometimes 3 shakes, to get that extra 20, 30 grams of New Zealand grass-fed bovine whey in.
Beats the hell out of the thing of Ensure, you know. Is that what those drinks are for the old folks?
No, Ensure? Yeah. Oh, half of those, though, it's like soy protein. And,
yeah.
Don't drink that stuff. That give you man boobs and throw your testosterone to the floor. We don't like that. We like testosterone.
yeah, exactly. anything with soy, no thank you. I love to look, folks, to me, this is important because the older we get, none of us are getting any younger. We need to take care of ourselves. No one else is going to do it for us. Certainly not the CDC, NIH, no.
FDA. Know,
FDA. Oh my gosh, FHA. No, RSV.
I'm just after 4 years of hell, I'm just happy we got somebody in a position like RFK Jr. that's actually trying to bring to light the problems that we have with the health in this country and actually saying, this isn't healthy. We're changing this. These companies have got away with literal murder for decades and what they're putting in their food, what's getting approved, what it's doing to people. We don't want it in here anymore. Because for the last 4 years, it's like,
but man,
free for all.
Getting attacked by the leftists. Again, this blows my mind. People 10 years ago who were bitching about, you know, the very things we're talking about.
I know.
Now they're bitching at RFK Jr. for crying out loud. What's wrong with you people?
I mean, it's crazy, too, because, you know, California is one of those states. You look back at California like 20 plus years ago, and they were like the organic breadbasket of the country. I mean, they were all about their health and their shakes and the organic. And now it's like, oh, he's trying to take food coloring out. How dare people not have the right to eat food coloring? I'm like, what? Why is that? Why is that even something you want in your food? Oh, no, he's taking fluoride out. Bro, if you want to go get your daily dose of fluoride and calcify your pineal gland, there is a shelf in Walmart that's got every fluoride product you possibly imagine right in front of you. You can buy it. We don't need it in our water supply. Never have. Never will again, hopefully. That whole topic is horrific, the fact that it's still in across the country. And that's another topic he's bringing up because now Florida's done it. Utah's done it. A lot of other states are looking at it, though. They're like, this research is showing fluoride drops IQ points. Multiple research studies is showing this now. Maybe we don't need to put it in the water supply. Maybe we need to talk to people about not drinking high fructose corn syrup sodas with phosphoric acid. Maybe that'll increase cavities.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The other thing I noticed about this, too, and I think these go hand in hand. Obviously, you've got the trans agenda, which, okay, put that aside for a second. But, folks, have you noticed, and this is something I noticed, there are people out there who are attempting to normalize fat people. I say fat, I'm talking about morbidly obese, grotesque, Jabba the Hutt kind of people. Okay, where you've got layer upon layer upon layer of fat. In no way, in no place on this planet is that good for anybody. No, yet, hey, you know, you can't fat shame. Oh, for crying out loud, what's wrong with you?
It's normalizing, and it's a whole aspect, the same concept you see with the communist ideology, is they want to normalize everything that's bad for society. They want to make it good, and then if you question it, you're domestic terrorists. This is the playbook that the DHS ran with the Biden administration with COVID. They're coming out now saying, oh, no, you need to accept it. Listen, if somebody's dealing with obesity, if they've got a health problem, that's okay. We can work through that. I've helped many people lose weight. I mean, there's a great customer I just ran into today when I was at Publix. Great customer, great guy, great listener, and he's almost down 100 pounds. I saw him in the parking lot. He talked me for a split second. He's walking by. He's like, dude, down almost 100 pounds now. I said, bro, you're killing it. Keep it up. I'm proud of you, dude. I mean, I've watched him drop the weight, and he's doing it the right way. Not a Zimka, not that BS. Eating clean, training, exercising, cutting the crap out of his diet, cutting the sodas out, and pushing the weight down naturally. He's doing great. So I see people do it, and then it's like, oh, no. You can't question him. You can't say anything about it. Dude, it's not really normally healthy to be 400 or 500 pounds. Let's be real. It causes enormous amount of issues on the organs, on the kidneys, on the joints, on the heart. It's not good for you. And so being this point now where we're like, we're going to promote it and tell about how great it is for you, it's just ignorant from a healthy standpoint. It's not fat shaming. I was like, hey, listen, man, you may want to start looking at this in your diet now. You may want to start cutting some. You may not need to eat 30,000 calories a day. Just newsflash, just probably isn't that good for your digestive system.
Man, it's just, again, everything about the stuff that we're being forced to, I shouldn't say forced because you have to accept, I guess, being forced. But what they're promoting, none of this is normal. I mean, the trannies, okay? When you talk about trannies, I hope you're talking about the undercarriage of a vehicle, okay? Not anything else.
Well, no, it's absurd now. The topic comes up all the time now where it's like everybody's getting so fed up with it. A lot more now people are starting to push back on it because I've always said this, man, somebody's got a mental disorder. If they got a mental problem, if they're dealing with something, cross-dressing, some sexual deviancy they're dealing with, hey, if you got to deal with that, I don't want to know about it. Do it on at home. If you want help, reach out. Somebody will help you. We can help you out. If you need help with it, get counseling. But coming out and being like, I am a man. You have to call me sir, ma'am, and, or whatever.
Exactly. What the hell is with that?
No.
Why?
Bro.
Why?
No.
Why? Why are these people going on social media?
They want to have their mental insecurity and their mental dilemma that they're in. They want to have it normalized, and they want to have you accept it. It's not okay that they just deal with their own stuff on their own. They want you to accept it. And if you don't accept it, they come in and try to eviscerate you and cancel you and do all these crazy things now because you don't want to go along with it. I mean, we've seen so many states now that are finally growing a set and saying, hey, it's not okay for full-grown men to compete with women in women's sports.
Yep.
It's not good. It's a problem, okay? We've seen it now multiple times in these different competitive sports where these guys come in that failed as men. Now, my name's Susie. I'm competing in the swimming league with females. I got first, second, third. I took all the gold. I took all the silver. And you're like, bro, what are you doing? Like, do you really feel good about yourself? These girls have trained for decades, in some cases, years, to get in these positions. And you come in and wipe everything off the table and go, oh, yeah, it's great to be a trans female. I'm feeling great about myself right now. I mean, I don't promote the show. I played the video. I got in trouble on the show because dropped the F-bomb a couple times. It was the South Park episode with Randy Savage, and it was a big spoof. Randy Macho Man Savage goes to the women's competition. He goes, yeah, I'm on my journey of being a female now. My transition for 2 weeks. I'm going to wipe the floor up with these women. And it was such a parody, and it was so silly. But it was so accurate now when you really look at it and you're like, bro, it's really
Eric the Tech, can you find that? Because I'm telling you, after the first hour, we're not picked up. So I can say anything I want. We can say anything we want. But you know, this is the problem, a big problem. Again, Andrew Breitbart had he's the author of the statement, politics is downstream from culture. And I'm saying that culture is downstream from our spirituality. And this is a direct assault on everything that God has designed. I don't think people realize, and maybe I'm wrong. And Austin, by the way, I want to thank you because I noticed that we're over time with you. And anytime you have to bolt, I understand that.
Oh, I'm still good. I'm here with you right now, man. I'm enjoying the show. I got all kinds of articles. I mean, it's Wednesday night. I'm on a purple stick. I got some more over here.
I'll tell you what. And folks, those purple sticks, let me tell you something.
I got the coupon code active, too. I did it just for y'all today.
Okay.
HR5.
HR5.
Get your code, Doug. I take care of your customers. I take care of your listeners. I want everybody to stay healthy. You may have to start funneling some of these. I got 15. We have a really good show if you want to go late.
We can. I'll say this.
Just kidding. I'm not recommending that dosage. I'm just kidding.
I got to say something, okay? But I'm going to make an admission. Man, I don't even know if I should. I accidentally... what I thought was a supplement, a nutritional supplement, wasn't. And it was somebody else's medication. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Yes. And, boy, I can get in trouble for saying this. I told my doctor about this because I was very concerned. I'm thinking, holy crap, what did I, what, because the individual that was with me, it's a long story. So I accidentally took, basically, speed. Okay.
Oh, gosh.
And so I'm thinking, wait a second, because I started feeling like really off. I mean,
yeah.
Okay. But here's the thing. You know the thing.
The thing.
The thing. It did not make me. Full disclosure. Back in the late 70s, it would be nothing for us to work 36 hours in a rescue squad situation and have an ER doctor hand me, and I've had this happen many, many times, a pocket full of speed, Dexedrine. Yeah. Back then, we used to take Dexedrine all the time to get us through a 24 or 36 hour stretch. Just saying, okay. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying.
Did they start realizing what it did to everybody's heart?
Well, and so when I took this, it was like, holy crap. And however, it didn't, it had a very bad effect on my heart. Okay. I'll just say that. So I was on the phone. My doctor's a friend of mine. He said, he just couldn't believe. He said, well, how? First of all, how? You're a grown adult. How? Second of all, call me the next time you do that, because that way I could put down, the cause of death on your death certificate.
Oh, God. We don't want to speak death over you, Doug.
I'm being truly serious. So this last week when I went to see him, I'll tell you what, I spent 15 minutes just getting my ass reamed out. Okay.
Oh yeah, I bet.
Yeah, because he said, you know what? Your heart because of your condition of your heart, you could have ended up dead. I wouldn't have known about it. He said, so don't ever do that again. I said, it's not like I was doing it deliberately. Anyway, so folks, the only reason, and you know what you might think, and rightfully so, how the hell did you do that? And quite frankly, I wasn't paying attention. I had my supplements, and I just.
Yeah, we need you around, Doug. You can't be doing stuff like that.
even my wife said, man, what is wrong with you? Are you an idiot? I can see the dog picking up, the kids do it, but anyway. So, but that having said that, the purple sticks have I'll say this, to me, the purple sticks work better than anything manufactured over the counter. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, they feed your cells. That's why.
Or prescribed, I should say, prescription medication. So
here's the issue with dexedrine and the Adderall, the amphetamines, all that stuff that they can prescribe you, that is, it doesn't feed your mitochondria. It just basically makes your body release an enormous amount of adrenaline. And so your body's not actually getting fed. It's just getting depleted. And the thing is, with those drugs like Adderall, so this is why I run into a lot of people that have been on it, they try to get off. And I always put them on B-complex and multiple powder, because Adderall burns B-complex. Amphetamines, all those stimulants burn B-complex. They burn B-vitamins like fuel. And so that's why after a while people are using them, they don't work anymore. They get a super high tolerance and their body's so depleted. Then they start on B-complex. They start on the attention factor and they're working with their doctor to get off Adderall. They're like, wow, I actually feel really good again. I said, well, since you're the purple sticks, you're getting the antioxidants, you're getting the acai, you're getting the green tea, you're getting the B complex, you're getting nutrients to fuel your mitochondria. You're not just burning the candle down with a blowtorch.
Man, I am so, again, I cannot speak more highly about the purple sticks and the wholesome effect it has. They have, excuse me, but got to get some honey in the tea that I have over here. Anyway, I love the purple sticks and I love the B complex in the morning. Together, it's, man, that's nothing but pure energy, pure power, but it's a wholesome, healthy push. That's just my take on it. I was talking to Steve Quayle about this too, about different supplements, because man, we're getting pretty on the other side of midnight here, and big believer in all of that. And I should add this: what's that thing you said? I take it, but I can't pronounce it.
N-acetylcysteine.
That.
AC?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's okay. Incredible formula, man. That stuff detoxifies the liver, the kidneys. Pulls toxins out of the body, really helps out with lung health. The yes. More research we talk about on the show, more research has come out of that, I think probably over the last 5 years, and I've seen in its whole lifetime, of why it's so important to take to help cleanse the body out. That's why, if you remember, ironically enough, during COVID, the FDA came in and said, oh, by the way, we went to the Bad Ideas Factory again today, and we've decided that we're going to make N-acetylcysteine a controlled drug. We're going to basically, patent it. And everybody goes, dude, it's a conditional, it's basically an amino acid. It's derived from sulfur. It's not a pharmaceutical drug. It's been used since like the 70s. We're going to make it a drug. We're going to charge $100 a pill because it works so good, because it does. They actually use N-acetylcysteine for acetaminophen overdose. We need Tylenol. So if you have people that overdose on Tylenol, N-acetylcysteine can actually reduce the toxicity in the liver, reduce the overload, and prevent the overdose of Tylenol with N-acetylcysteine. They've used it multiple times, all the time, for that. And so the FDA comes and we're going to do it. Well, they got so much pushback. There was no justification. There was no way they could legally do this. They finally came back off and let it go. And it was ironic, because then we found, it was in 2021 when they did this, we found out very quickly the N-acetylcysteine massively strengthened the alveoli in the lung tissue, and it helped people recover very quickly from COVID, and it helped get the spike protein out of the body for basically the virus that people were contracting. And so we're like, now we know why the FDA was bent on trying to suddenly patent this compound after 50 years, right during COVID. The same way they said, ivermectin, don't touch it. It's an anti-parasitic horse drug. Okay, yeah, it can be used for that. It's also a great anti-parasitic human drug. It's been around since the 80s, won a Nobel Prize. Great. No, can't take it. Only thing you could do is remdesivir, die in the hospital, or take your COVID shot. And as we see, and I talked about earlier, and I know I'm repeating myself, we're finally seeing once again, every single thing we were told during COVID was a lie. And not only that, intentional manipulation to get people to do things that were not healthy for them, that cause long-term side effects, and it's all coming to light again. And so, like you said, when is the retribution going to start? When are the consequences going to occur for these people? Because you can't just play the, we were following what to do because they told us to do so. At some point, it's got to get to a lead operator that said, yeah, I knew this product was dangerous. I knew it was not safe. Yeah, we approved it because It's what we're doing because we're making a boatload of money. And that's where the pivotal point hits, is who are the people that approved it and pushed it and got it through, and who is making the most amount of money. Those are the ones that really need to be held accountable, because those are the ones that actually pushed it and got the lower downs to go along with a lot of stuff and push stuff through that should never been pushed.
Well, it's the same too. And, you know, look, there were five governors who, including ours in Pennsylvania, New York, of course, who yep. really are responsible for the, in my view, they murdered people. They're responsible yeah. for the deaths of people. They need to be held accountable. I talked to somebody today because of an article that came out, and this individual said, "Hey, can I file a private criminal complaint against the governor for this?" And frankly, I've never seen, you know, a charge of that level handled as a private criminal complaint, but we can do it here in Pennsylvania. Most states have that ability. Folks, if you've got a problem, you can actually file private criminal complaints, bypassing the law enforcement agency, going directly to the DA of your county. Look, we need to be doing stuff like this. And just like the press covering up for Biden, Jake Tapper, yeah. don't tell me yeah. you didn't know, or, you know, whatever. Hold them accountable. But yeah, 100%.
Well, and that's, in my opinion, why I think now so many of these individuals in Congress and all these individuals in tech, they're wanting to push this really, really open AI system. Because AI is going to reach a point where we're going to be able to point the finger at AI. I didn't know any better. AI approved this. Because they're reaching a point now where they want AI to start basically going over everything. They want AI to do the primary approval on drugs in the future. They've said this now. The FDA is actually using certain AI models and programs in their reviews now to basically read over stuff and make it faster. At a certain point in time, when you start allowing AI to run, control, approve, disapprove, look at everything – it then comes down to what is AI's overall goal. You know, the Vigilant Fox posted something yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Disturbing OpenAI's latest model. See this?
Yes.
Disobeyed a shutdown order and rewrote its own code to stay alive.
Yes.
Think Skynet's just science fiction? Think again. Instead of shutting down, instead it rewrote the very script designed to disable it, becoming the first ever AI empirically caught evading a shutdown.
I saw that from the Vigilant Citizen, which
it's bound to happen.
Yes. And now I'm not surprised. And folks, if you're listening or watching this and you have Twitter or X Premium or the Pro, whatever that is, you can actually download the app for Grok, the AI program there. And you can actually, I was talking to the Patriot Doctor today about that. You can actually have a conversation. You can choose whether you want to talk to a female voice or a male voice, but you can actually have a conversation with that. Now, look, I stay away from AI because I don't want, as much as I can, obviously, with search engines are filled with all that, but the Patriot Doctor was telling me about, okay, because he's a physician, engaging this AI program about pharmaceuticals,
yep.
and the program directing him to remdesivir, for example. Now, I'm using that as an example, but so come on, man. You know, this is not right. So that Vigilant Citizen article, I'll tell you what. Follow Vigilant Citizen on social media, because a lot of good stuff is coming from that. But it was hard for me to really, I mean, I believed it, but boy, accept that. You know,
And what's even more disturbing is that, you know, and I brought this up on the show last week, is this big, beautiful bill. I keep referring to that. I don't know why. I think this is kind of funny.
That's because
House Republicans passed. There was a whole section in it that pushes a 10-year ban on AI regulation at all state and basically communal levels, meaning no state or county is able to change any policy from federal AI regulation. So if federal comes in and mandates this, that every state has to have X amount of AI programs inside their platforms, the state can't push back. If you remember, the FCC, I talked this in detail on the show, the FCC in 2019 came in and did the exact same thing and said no state or local municipality is able to change or regulate or stop 5G networks that's approved from the FCC. Meaning if they come in and say, we're doing a 5G tower right in the middle of your neighborhood, it doesn't matter if you have a city commissioner meeting. If it's federal law that comes in and approves it, it was almost impossible to stop it from coming in. There were a few sectors here and there that made a little bit of progress that I saw, but the vast majority of them got railroaded in. We're using that same concept and policy to now say, doesn't matter, 10-year cap on states being able to change or stop. That, to me, is extremely violating. That's such a violation of state rights because AI, first off, you have different areas in different parts of the country that would utilize it more, utilize it less. Secondly, if a state comes in and says, we only want this in minute parts of our government sector, federal government says, nope, we want it all of it, including your budgetary areas, all of it. We're getting monitoring everything with AI. And you can't say no, but yet you've got open AI coming out and saying, I'm not going to shut down. I'm rewriting code. Basically, F you. I'm going to stay on. Whoa, that's not really cool, bro.
What was that from Hal, you know, Open the Door? Or
yeah.
I don't recall it precisely.
2001 Odyssey.
There, yeah, that, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Dave. No. And so where does President Trump, because you're more researched in this than I am, where does President Trump fall on this AI in that venue? Do you know?
I don't want to say it because I already covered it. But if you remember when this whole thing, when he got elected, a bunch of executive orders he went through, he signed off that we were going to pump $500 billion through different platforms to fund AI and all the other platforms
that we're going
to integrate. $500 billion. We were going to get it from somewhere and a bunch of money from Facebook, Meta, all this stuff was going to be going into it. If you remember that, he's a very big supporter from my knowledge on AI. And so again, can AI be useful for certain platforms? Yes. Can it make stuff way faster? Oh yeah, it can. I'm not knocking it for some of its uses, but we've got to have some regulatory standards on this stuff. And it's like, to me, it appears a lot of these individuals, they want this stuff open AI all the time, everywhere with these D-Wave computers. And like I said, I think they want to open up either different type of dimensions or portals, maybe tie it in with CERN. I don't know the dynamics. I can only speculate. But you start talking about this stuff, and it gets really weird really fast, to be honest.
Man.
Like, really weird.
Yeah, you're exactly 100% correct.
But then it goes to Minority Report. Then it goes to Minority Report. And then you have open AI and AI platforms doing predictive analysis on who's the higher statistical probability individual that's going to commit a crime in a certain area. So it runs through an entire database, background, driving record, firearm licenses, everything. And then it goes statistical probability, bump, 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 bump. These individuals more than likely at some point in time are going to do some type of crime. Start having basically predictive crime models. They've already set this up with law enforcement. They've been doing this on a light scale. What happens when you roll that out? And all of a sudden it says, here's your list. Here's 5,000 people in this city that are highly likely to be domestic violent extremists. Okay, we're going to go investigate them now. You've done nothing. You posted nothing. You said nothing. You've threatened nobody. But AI determines it through their models, and they start following it. That, man, that's Minority Report in a nutshell right there, bro. That's wild.
You know, I'm going to ask you something here. You and I have not talked about this. I mentioned this week. I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, but I'm going to ask you something. And I don't know how much, if anything, that you know about this. But here's my question. Has your platform been approached to become part of a consortium of conservative voices out there by anyone?
Yes, I've had a couple emails. I'm not going to put anybody's name out there. I've had a couple emails from people contact me. Yeah, they wanted to kind of bring me into another group to start kind of having the Brewer Show tied in with other stuff. I declined it. I did not like some of the stuff that I was already picking up on. I'm usually pretty good judge of character, especially in business settings for the most part. I mean, I don't see everything, but I don't miss a lot either. And yes, I have heard from multiple people that this is starting to happen on a lot of conservative platforms.
I'm going to tell you right now, folks, in 6 months, and again, probably by the end of the summer, maybe, you're not going to, well, you're going to, the same talking people, especially the bigger platforms, I'm not going to name any names, but they are combining into under the umbrella of, I'll just say a network. That's probably not the correct term. But the big sell is, well, it's revenue sharing because we can sell.
Yes, I was just about to say they're promising an enormous amount of profits because everybody's going to basically pool in this big lake. Everybody's going to be able to cross sell across different platforms. Exactly what I was told. I'm going to make an enormous amount of revenue. My business is going to blow up. And I said, bro, I'm doing just fine here. What we're doing, I don't want to have any ties to anybody. If I want to say anything I want at any point in time, I'm going to do it. Nobody's going to tell me what I can and can't say on this show. If I want to bring it up, I'm going to bring it up.
And
you can talk about anything you want. It's going to be open,
there you go.
Platform.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, is it? It's always how it starts, isn't it? It's always how it starts.
Exactly. And I'll tell you something right now. The bigger the name, and they're pushing this, and a lot of people are falling for this. People that I ordinarily would look up to or listen to. It is not what they think it is, because when you dig down, the money behind it is attached to the Bush dynasty. It's the rhinos, really, in this case, that are pushing this, and it's not good. So, folks, be very judicious about this, because, again, by the end of the summer, you're going to have a whole different terrain of programs like this. And I came out and did the same thing. Not interested. Thank you very much. Have a good day. But no. And as a matter of fact, I'll call you out on this, because nothing good can come from this. Nothing.
No, it's not. It's not. I got the same ideas on it, the same concepts. I can smell a snake when I see a snake. And I know the stuff that they're trying to do right now. They're going to try to get majority of the conservative voices into these areas now so they can control, moderate, and dictate. Because here's the problem. You start getting these areas, you start making a lot of money, you start having higher revenue, you start having higher costs, start having higher payroll. Then all of a sudden you say something, they say, we can't say this. We're going to cut this. Dang it, bro. I got payroll to make this week. Okay. Well, then slowly but surely, you start continually to self-censor yourself. And there's certain topics you can't talk about. Certain countries you're not allowed to bring up. Certain topics that are taboo. And all of a sudden you go, I can't talk about this, this, and this. Oh, yeah. That's just that. Just don't go those topics. And I'm like, I won't talk about it. It's getting brought up. I want people to hear the truth, period.
You know, here's the other thing, too. The self-censorship by people. If I want to say, or if someone shot another person, okay, I'm not going to bleep out the word shot because, well, that lowers the numbers of people. You know, you could, because you're censored by the platform. Okay.
Yep,
or
algorithm.
Rape or assassination or whatever, vaccination, COVID. I mean, I will say, if I see somebody, you know, putting like an asterisk, where like rape or an at sign where the A should be, because it's really important that this post gets out there, as opposed to say what you mean. Okay. Don't color this. Don't self-censor, because to me, that's giving into the devil himself.
The issue with the self-censoring, Doug, is it's such a slow parasite that slowly enters a certain area, and it doesn't do a lot at the beginning, but it's slowly, and we saw it with social media. We saw it, how much control they had when COVID hit was the perfect example. Most social media platforms were pretty open. You could have discussions and topics. Maybe an algorithm would kick it down some, or they'd censor something on a rare occasion. COVID hit, and it was like all hell's demons were unleashed on any conservative name. Everything you posted on social media got taken down. I mean, you couldn't keep anything up. Then you had the fact checkers have listened to this, and they said it's false. And I'm like, who the hell are the fact checkers?
Exactly.
Who are the fact checkers?
Yeah.
Oh, you got some little dweeb tranny faggots in the back room going, I don't like what he said. I'm a fact checker. I'm a fact checker. I'm a fact checker. And they cut all the stuff down. They banned everybody, taking everybody off, deplatforming them. And I was like, but it was doctors that said intravenous vitamin C was fixing COVID within a matter of days, and people were walking out with 100% success rate. Nope, we've deemed that to be fake news. Who are you? Who are the fact checkers? They were hanging behind a wall, basically being able to be autonomous and basically not have any oversight at all. And that's what happened. And people started slowly self-censoring because they wanted to get the truth out there. And I got it at first during COVID because it was like, we had to get the truth out there. But then it reached a point where it became the normal to self-censor. And now it's just the way it goes. And now it's more and more things you can't say, you can't talk about, you can't do, because they push the ball down the field a couple more yards every single time. And that's why we talk about it so much on the Brewer Show and with Team Health Masters, is you've got to continue to get the truth. We got to be able to talk about vitamin C and D3. We got to be able to talk about these different health topics. Because if we don't, and nobody else does, then who does? CNN? You don't listen to CNN for your health news. Fox is going to give you your health updates every single day. God, you'll be sick. Listen to those guys.
I'll tell you something. When I, you know, I went 5 years, both my wife and I went 5 years without COVID. Okay. None of these tests and all that crap. And, if you get sick, it doesn't, I mean, the protocol, basically my protocol would be the same anyway. So that's just for me. So I'm not going to, but when I did get COVID, I can tell you this. And how do I know I got COVID? Well, you know, my wife did wrestle me down and say, "You here, test it." So I gently tested myself, and it came back. All I had to do was like breathe on the damn thing. But nonetheless, okay.
Yeah.
The supplements and the protocol that you put together, it was, I'm not going to say it was a walk in the park, but it was like the flu. That was it.
Well, here's the thing that I couldn't understand. Yeah, and you know, and that's why you're so hesitant about it. I can honestly say with all 100% honesty, I have never taken a COVID test in my entire life, even the way through it. Because the way I looked at it was, when I got the flu, I didn't go get a flu test. I knew I had the flu. I had 104 temperature. I felt like crap on the couch for 3 or 4 days, hammering C, hammering D, hammering zinc, and then I walked out of it after a couple of days. I knew I was sick. That concept that everybody had to go stand in line to go get nasal swab like a dog so you can be told if you have a virus that may or may not have any symptoms. I'm like, bro, if you got COVID, you'll know you got COVID. I remember the first, when I first got it in 2021, I went to eat a plate of eggs, and I was like, crap. Like, I put salt up a hot sauce. I'm like, I can't taste these eggs. And I was like,
okay.
I think I got it.
Yeah.
And then I was sick for a couple of days. I didn't feel good. I slept a lot. And I was back on the show, and I hammered the supplements, hammered the C the whole way through, and I pushed through it. But that was, again, the other way that they got people on that health mindset, not the health mindset, that medical mindset of being like, I have to go somewhere to be told if I have something. You got a test to go back to work. You got a test to go do this. And I mean, my favorite one was when people were outside or in their cars, and it's snowing and like 10 degrees outside, and they're in line for hours to get nasal swabbed to be told if they're sick. And I'm like, I don't think that's probably a good idea. You know, sitting outside in 10 degree weather, newsflash, you're probably going to get sick after a couple of hours regardless. Yeah,
exactly.
So I don't know.
I want to see if, and thanks. Do you have a few more minutes? I mean, hell, you
run the clock up, my friend. We'll do overtime if you need us to.
Well, I want to show the. I want to show you this, and you. I'm sure maybe you've seen this. I try to catch your shows and stuff, but I saw this, and I don't know how many people know about this. So this is for those people watching and, of course, listening. Page one in the show notes. Folks, Eric the Tech, if you can put this up, this is an mRNA swab, but there's a patent of humans involved in this. Folks, did you see this in the chat? Let me know. Can you put page one up, Eric the Tech? From the show notes, HagmanPI.com. Okay, so what this is a patent for essentially micro needles in the what would you call it, the Q-tip.
It was a vaccine patch, wasn't it?
Well, this is when you get tested for. You were talking about the lines. Okay, so on the tip of the Q-tip that they stick into your head, you know, up and jab your brain. There are this is a patent for the micro needles. It's a micro needle nasal delivery device. Okay. Which if you scroll down on that patent application, I think there might be a visual to this, a picture of a drawing. There it is right there. Check that out.
Cactus.
Yeah, and that is to be deposited. Use that to do. So when you're getting checked for whatever, you know, virus that's out there, they're using this, and they are actually, I'll just say, vaccinating you by doing this.
And whatever stuff they're putting in it. Yeah, because that was the thing, too, is it's like, what's actually on that swab? It's breaking the skin with those little sand spurs that are on there, like the cactus. It's breaking through that mucous membrane in your sinus. So whatever's on that swab, it's going to be absorbed through the sinus cavity, for the way I'm looking at this.
Yes.
And you got a patent for it. So it's like, that was a theory we had during COVID, was that,
yes.
Were they putting something on all those PCR tests? Because it was always funny how people, after they got the PCR test, you tested positive, now you're sick. Well, it's like, was I actually sick? Was I going to get sick? Did I contract the virus? Or just shove something on my sinus cavity and now I'm sick? It's all speculation, but it was pretty strange how hard they were pushing that PCR test, especially the ones, I think the ones you bought at the store. You know, like Walgreens, I don't know if those really are involved with that, but the ones where they had those delivery stations, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't think so. And with your permission, because again, I'm imposing upon your time, folks, teamhealthmasters.com. The link will be in the program description box, HR5 coupon code at checkout. I'm going to tell you what, stock up now. Okay. Because you don't know about next week. You don't know about next week. You don't know about tomorrow. Hell, you don't even know about later tonight. But anyway, but with your permission, the related video to this is video one in the show notes. It's only about 2.5 minutes, but when I saw this, I had to watch this twice because I'm thinking, no, wait a second. You know, is this, really? So Eric the Tech, if you don't mind, related video number one, it's just over 2.5 minutes.
Run it.
Yeah. Okay. Fire when ready, Eric.
I believe that this mRNA vaccine is going to genetically modify.
Yes, it will. The mRNA will actually take a piece of your DNA out. It will replace it with a synthetic one and a synthetic piece. So, you know, who knows what they're going to modify about you. But that also makes you patentable.
That's right.
They can own you. And let me tell you, they've already started the vaccinations. They've already started them. They started them a long time ago because the test vaccinates you. The article right here in front of me, and here's what it says. Yes, they can vaccinate us through the nasal test swabs and target the brain. Now, here's the thing. As a doctor, I said, this is crazy because, you see, you're wearing a mask to cover your – now, they would hate it. They would not allow you into a store if you just wore a mask over your nose. You've got to wear it over your mouth because supposedly the COVID-19 is in your saliva. Well, if it's in your saliva, then all they have to do is swab the inside of your mouth like they do for a DNA test. But no, they take these long Q-tips and they stick them all the way back almost into your brain. They stick them back to the back of the nasal sinuses and then they twist them. All right, here's what they're doing. First of all, there is a very thin plate of bone that covers the brain between the brain and the nasal sinus, and it's called the cribriform plate. And every doctor knows about the cribriform plate. All right. Now, the cribriform plate has some openings in it where olfactory nerves, nerves from the nose, go through that plate into the brain. And bone, that this kind of bone in the cribriform plate is porous anyway. So substances can go through it. So when they take that swab and they put it back there and twist it, what they're doing is depositing things back there. This, you can't see this, but this shows that they have nanoparticles that are actually on the ends of the Q-tips that they're putting in there that can get into your brain. They can be hooked up to the cloud. So they are already vaccinating you with the test. When you go to get tested, you are actually being vaccinated and implanted with nanoparticles.
Now, that's Dr. Lorraine Day. She passed away November of 2023 at the age of 86. But Austin, your take on that, because the paper she held up referenced that patent. So I had to look for that patent. But your take on that, I mean, patenting humans? I mean, really?
Yeah, I mean, I remember reading some stuff about that. And I mean, she had some great info back in the day, especially during COVID. She was coming out with that stuff. And one of the parts that kind of made the argument for her was, okay, so we knew the COVID-19 was basically a mutated flu, right? That's pretty much the basis of it, okay? Well, never in history when you went to get tested for the flu did you have to have a 6-inch Q-tip shoved up to the frontal lobe of your brain, basically, like they were trying to do, and twisting around and yanking and poking. I mean, what they were doing to people was almost inhumane. It was disgusting. That's why I've never gone. I'm like, am I kidding that? When I'm sick, I'm sick. And so then the question begs, if it was a mutated flu, why didn't they just do a flu swab? Why in the world did they have to do a nasal swab all the way up halfway up your brain with one of these patented items that they came just for COVID-19 and twist it and twist it and twist it and pull it down just to see if it was COVID-19? If you had COVID, you had COVID. You didn't have to go all the way to the top of the sinus cavity to find out if you had it. And so that was the argument that she was making a lot of times when it was going on further and further, because I remember reading about it. And that was one of the reasons why I would never get a test. I got, like, there was multiple times they tried to force it on me when I was traveling and stuff. So I'm not doing it. I'll drive if I got to. I'm not taking a test. Well, you got a test. I said, listen, I'm in great shape. Cardiovascular system's great. I feel great. I'm not taking a test. I'm not sick. Not doing it. The most I ever did was a temperature gun. I said, okay, you want to check my temperature? I pull my hat off, check my temperature. Hey, I'm 98.7. Hooray, I'm not sick. Congratulations. Let me move on with my life, get out of my way. But that concept of you got to get a swab, swab, swab. There are people that I knew that kept swabbing, and they kept testing positive for weeks. There was one law enforcement officer, I remember this case specifically, he kept testing positive for almost 6 weeks, and they couldn't figure out why. And I thought to myself, is it that the swabs they're doing are basically continuing to contaminate him with COVID-19? I don't know. The whole topic was weird. All I kept telling everybody was, keep stuff out of your sinuses with these swabs. Don't take the shot. Load up on C, D3, and zinc and the protocol kit we have.
Yep.
And stay healthy and strong, man. I said, because these guys have been – and again, what did I tell you at the beginning? If they're lying to you about everything that we're finding out now, why wouldn't they lie to us about the PCR test? We already knew that they were turning the cycle rate up on it like 40 times, 45 times to make sure at a certain point in time you would test positive for anything. And I remember the guy in Parliament over in Europe. You remember this video?
Yeah,
he took a PCR test out of the package, brand new, out of the package, took a Coca-Cola, unscrewed it, poured it into a glass, PCR tested it, put it down, let it sit. Coca-Cola just tested positive for COVID-19, my friends. Does that mean we're going to have to recall all all Coca-Cola products? Everybody went, well, this is odd. Was it that the tests were supposed to all say positive no matter what you put them in? Again.
Do you think – do you think something else is coming here? Because Well, I'll tell you what, before you answer that question, I do have a feel good. Well, one last video. I got a feel good video for you because you've been so gracious to hang with me. I gotta say, okay, I don't know how many people, again, have seen this mashup, Marjorie Taylor Greene, during the throes of this scandemic, taking Fauci to task. And when I watched that, I thought of you and your dad, and I'm thinking, yeah, you know, I gotta send this to you. And I figured, I'd play it in the first hour, but this is cut three in the show notes, HagmanPI.com. It'll be underneath, by the way, the link to Team Health Masters and the HR5 coupon code. Folks, make sure you go there and stock up on everything that you need. And they're open to questions, too. I'm going to tell you right now, they're very, very responsive.
Email us. Call us.
Yeah, yeah. So take advantage of that. Take advantage of the coupon code. The purple sticks, I'm telling you, great stuff. As opposed to anything else, just ask me. I know. But I'm not going to tell you anymore how I know. But anyway, here's cut three. Again, a feel-good video for you. And then we have to figure out, too, how we collectively need to handle these people. But this is a MTG versus Fauci. Here's your feel-good video for tonight. Here it is.
Do you represent science, Mr. Fauci?
I am a scientist who uses the scientific method to gain information.
Yes or no? Yes or no?
No, that's not a yes or no answer.
Yes, it's a yes or no.
I don't think it is.
Okay, well, we'll take that as a you don't know what you represent.
Oh, I...
But this, as director of the NIH, you did sign off on these so-called scientific experiments. And as a dog lover, I want to tell you this is disgusting and evil, what you signed off on, and these experiments that happened to beagles paid for by the American taxpayer. And I want you to know Americans don't pay their taxes for animals to be tortured like this. So the type of science that you are representing, Mr. Fauci, is abhorrent. You confess that you made up the COVID rules, including 6 feet social distancing and masking of children.
I never said I made anything up.
You admitted that you made it up. You made it up as you went.
I made it up.
So are you saying this is fake news, Mr. Fauci?
I didn't say I made anything up.
What did you say?
I said that it is not based in science and it just appeared.
But this is science. And making up guidelines like 6 feet distancing and masking of children. Do you think that's appropriate? Do the American people deserve to be abused like that, Mr. Fauci? Because you're not doctor. You're Mr. Fauci in my few minutes. No, I don't need your answer. That man does not deserve to have a license. As a matter of fact, it should be revoked and he belongs in prison.
Suspend.
Here you are without your mask where you got to go and enjoy the game and sit right next to people not following the 6 feet of distancing, not wearing your mask, and everyone else was forced to stay home and stop enjoying life. And your science here, your science is displayed perfectly in this picture where children in school were put in plastic bubbles because of your science. Your repulsive, evil science. And let's go back to your very own email. You said earlier you don't use email. Oh, you do. Right here. This is your own email where you said the typical mask you buy in the drugstore is not really effective in keeping out virus. I do not recommend that you wear a mask. This is your email. This is your own words. But yet children all over America were forced to wear masks. Healthy children forced to wear masks, muzzled in their schools. And then they were forced to learn from home because of your so-called science and your medical suggestions while you and all your cronies get paid from Big Pharma. You know that what this committee should be doing? We should be recommending you to be prosecuted. We should be writing a criminal referral because you should be prosecuted for crimes against humanity. You belong in prison, Dr. Fauci.
And the big question is, why in the hell hasn't that happened? Okay, well, that makes us feel good. Dog and pony show. No pun intended there. But, smokescreen. He needs to be prosecuted. He really does.
He needs to be completely prosecuted. I'll give her credit. I remember when that was going on. The whole everything started to come out about how it was a complete lie. how he came out on national television with Burks and said, we're recommending everybody do this to flatten the curve. We have 2.2 million deaths we can prevent if everybody follows these protocols and guidelines and mandates immediately. And then later on, we find out there was no mask aspect as far as science. There was no aspect of science of 6 feet apart, even though they're mandating every business that wanted to stay open had to stay 6 feet apart. The whole thing was a lie. Again, complete manipulation. And then suddenly, right before Biden is out of office, Fauci gets a full federal pardon. Imagine that.
And I did hear that is being investigated. Well, all the pardons are, but specifically that one is being investigated. I'm just a touch hopeful. Maybe I took some hopium, Hunter's hopium. but you know, Fauci, Burks, of course, the entirety of that whole cabal, as well as the, people at Wuhan, the people at, University of, at Chapel Hill there with, I'm trying to remember his name, but all of those people need to be prosecuted criminally. Let's not talk about it. Let's do it. Where's Pam Blondy on this? Where's the Department of Justice on this? We need that 10-year pardon. Seriously, Dr. McCullough had a video that folks, you can go to the show notes. Dr. McCullough announced two major crimes committed by Fauci. Again, you can announce a buttload of crimes, but until something is done, I don't think people should rest.
The issue, too, with this pardon and why it really needs to be investigated, and this is some of the stuff I've read on it, is that you're not talking about an individual who may or may not have committed a civil crime or something based on non-public or he did whatever. You're talking about an individual who was the highest paid government agent in the entire country operating the health standards, so to speak, based on science for the entire country, 330, 40 million people to follow, and then coming to find out that everything he said was a lie. There was no science. He was making stuff up and then trying to push people to do things like he was instrumental in getting remdesivir emergency use approved in 2021 to be the standard of care in hospitals, which literally caused, in my opinion, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of deaths in the United States. I know multiple people who have lost loved ones in the hospital, COVID, from remdesivir. And they told me flat out it was from remdesivir. I've talked to people that survived remdesivir barely. And so that's the problem that I have with all this. It wasn't he committed a crime somewhere. It was that he was a health official put in the position of power to essentially run the country and do things on his own accord, knowing they were the worst possible option. And suddenly it's like, oh, but he gets a 10-year pardon. No accountability at all. I don't think in any position pardons need to be applicable to government officials while they're doing government work for people under taxpayer-paid dollars. Why is it suddenly you get full immunity for killing millions of people in your position that you were in, and it's suddenly okay because you just got a pardon from it? That's what really needs to be looked at with the aspect.
And that 10-year pardon, if you go back in time and look at when Obama, of all people, made gain-of-function research illegal or not part of the platform – That pardon corresponds with that Obama move to get rid of the gain of function research. So it's no accident. It was done by design. And I would point the finger if in my researched opinion, Anita Dunn, Bob Bauer, other people agree with me on this. Some people were saying Hunter Biden, but you know, it would be those communists. Self-admitted, I believe it needed done, communist that was behind this. So anyway, we are coming really close to the end of the show. I want to say thank you for hanging with me. Feeling a little bit, froggy or feeling a little bit off tonight. And I appreciate you really carrying the show.
Absolutely, my friend. I always got your back, Doug. You know that.
Yeah.
anytime you want, man. Take care of you. I'll send you a purple stick next day or the next day. Get you.
I have a purple. I took a purple stick about 6 o'clock. So
there you go.
Just not firing on all cylinders tonight, admittedly. But having said all of that, folks, go to teamhealthmasters.com and make sure you stock up. And hey, purple sticks, man. For the HR5 coat, that is a fantastic deal, as well as all of their products. And make sure you really, really shop and take a look at what they have, because I'm going to tell you something. You ain't got nothing if you don't have your health, man.
And that's exactly right. And the ultimate morning energy kit, that's the one that